A few thoughts about blood. Misconceptions about blood in antiquity were many and various. Perhaps no aspect of medicine has progressed as much since then as the understanding of the nature and purpose of blood. Pride of place among misguided ancient ideas about blood should perhaps go to its inclusion, along with phlegm and yellow and black bile, as one of the four humours that constitute the human body. For some disparaging comments on this totally erroneous but almost universally accepted theory, see chapter 24 of the Hippocrates Code. In second place, and not far behind, comes the failure to understand blood circulation. As with so many of the shortcomings of ancient medicine, this ignorance can be attributed largely to the almost universal ban on human dissection. Quote, "The arteries are without sensation, for they are also without blood, and not all of them contain the vital spirit. The veins have a central meeting point at the navel. Between the sinews lie the arteries, which are the pathways for the breath. The veins, which are the channels for the blood, float on the sinews." Pliny, Natural History, 11:220. Galen realized that the arteries contain blood and have nothing to do with breathing, but he still thought that the veins and arteries are quite separate from each other and that the pulse is generated by the arteries themselves. He was therefore unable to perceive the true nature of blood circulation, which was finally established by William Harvey in the 17th century. Accepting that blood does not circulate opens the door to some strange notions. I quote, "Athena gave Asclepius the blood that flowed from the Gorgon's veins, and with it he healed many people. He used the blood from the veins on the left side to kill people, and that from the veins on the right to cure them." Zenobius, Proverbs 1:18. What are the causes of sleep and death? According to Alcmaeon, we fall asleep when our blood retreats in our veins. We wake up when it comes flowing back, and we die when it retreats altogether. Pseudo-Plutarch, On the Opinions of Philosophers, 909d. When there's a significant loss of blood from a wound in a part of the body that has neither sinews nor muscles, such as the forehead or the top of the head, the best thing to do is to apply a cupping glass to some other part of the body to divert the flow of blood there instead. Celsus, On Medicine, 526-21. Celsus is referring to bloodletting, a very common procedure throughout antiquity and still standard practice until the end of the 19th century as a remedy to all sorts of diseases. No condition was too trivial. Bloodletting cures flatulence, Hippocrates Epidemics 2.5, or too improbable, e.g. cancer, leprosy. People even had their blood let regularly as a preventive measure. Blood could be extracted either by cupping or by the application of leeches, the Latin term for which is the rather evocative sanguisuga, bloodsucker. According to Julian, the last pagan emperor of Rome, leeches, however disgusting to modern sensibilities, are clever little fellows. Quote, "Leeches are able to suck out diseased blood while leaving the purer blood alone." That's against the Galileans, 198. Since bloodletting was the procedure they most commonly performed, it's not surprising that the term leech was frequently used to refer to doctors. It seems, however, that there is a degree of coincidence in this association, since there was a quite separate word, leech, in Old English, that means heal.